now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Gray McMorrow. And today on the show, unexpected joy.
Ivan's over in New York City to find out more about this brand new play.
And Just Like Us.
Our youth outreach programme are back again with another edition.
All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Didn't mean to sound so apologetic when I said shout out. I should say shout out. Like that.
And welcome to Idaho, Idahot, Idahobbit Day.
Idahobbit. And
it's kind of gone by all those
names. Global
day
of recognition for the celebration of the how far we've come in terms of LGBT plus rights. And I'm just getting my picture taken right now.
You can't see this on the
radio.
Can't
see this,
but,
so yeah, I'm
but Mitch
sure.
is modelling a nice, nice T-shirt.
I've got a T-shirt that's it comes obviously to the, relevant.
It comes to the story, doesn't it? It was a flash mob.
Yes, we did. I did a flash mob in Broadmead a couple of years ago for Idahot Day, and to tie in with a big youth event that we were doing. And so I gave out all the T-shirts. I got lovely Paul from the Queen Shilling to help me do these T-shirt designs and everything.
I didn't know he'd help with this.
Well, he can print out the
oh, can he?
What do they call it?
It's like a transfer,
isn't
it?
The transfer. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. And he had a special machine, and he just I bought the T-shirts and
amazing.
He was brilliant. So
I'm just going to tweet it so everyone can see it.
Everyone was wearing purple because purple is the colour, isn't it?
Yes.
Purple
I think
is
so,
the colour.
Yeah. So. Yes. Loads of other things are going on as well. Now, do you remember that we played a charity single, which I've got coming up again in a minute, actually.
Yes.
We played it a little while ago called Stronger Together. Do you remember that?
Yes, I think.
Well, I think on the end of the phone should be Alan Coulthard. Are you there?
Hi, Andy. It's Alan.
Hello, mate.
Oh, hello, Alan.
Hi, how are you all?
We're doing well. It's nice. Bring us up to date. What's happened since the last time we interviewed you?
Well, quite a lot, actually, because the last time I interviewed you was in... you interviewed me, sorry, was in December. And the record did very well. It got to number one in the iTunes chart. But then things went
amazing.
A bit quiet during the new year. And because we always thought it was a summer record, really, for the Pride season. So we took a break a bit, but then we had this event at the end of April at the Golden Cross in Cardiff, which was basically called Stronger Together Live. And it was all done in quite a rush, actually, but we had some amazing acts in the evening, such as Susie D and Donna Marie Traeger from All Together Now, the TV show. We had Christine Wiltshire, who was famous in the 70s and 80s for tracks such as In the Bush, Musique, and Weekend, Class Action. We had Gavin Shepherd. We had Rob Sainsbury, a favourite of ours on Showtime.
Is that Rob from Judas Priest? No.
No, Rob Sainsbury, he's Rob a friend of ours. He performed at the Shout Out Listeners Awards, if you
Sorry,
remember.
Sorry, excuse me.
Don't worry about it.
It's an amazing singing voice he's got.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, we also had Damien Peachy and his daughter Tia Peachy, Jenna Morecambe, who's actually my second cousin, and Wendy Kane, who came back from retirement to sing some wonderful songs, including her favourite, You're My World. So it was a great night. It went on for about 5 hours, actually. It was a bit like a sort of mini Pride in one night. And we raised quite a lot of money for charity, which, of course, is the main object of this, because we're trying to raise as much money as possible for the poor gay people who are being persecuted in Chechnya.
Yeah, so which is the whole reason for making the song, wasn't it, in the first place?
Exactly, but it's really sort of going from strength to strength, really. And actually, last week I was invited to go on stage. Well, I was invited a few months ago, actually, but to go on stage at Gran Canaria Pride, which is the biggest pride in Europe, I think, or one of the biggest prides in Europe.
And, I was going to ask you about that, because I hear rumours that you were talking in Spanish on the stage as well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that was quite something.
So, we didn't know you could speak Spanish. Was there a reason behind it?
I thought it might give it more international appeal, basically. My ex was a native Spanish speaker, and I learned Spanish through him, and we're still very good friends, and he helped me, really. I mean, my Spanish was, I think, pretty good on stage, and he helped me a little bit with the pronunciation. I mean, I do speak good Spanish, but he gave me a little bit of coaching with the pronunciation, because obviously when English people speak Spanish, the pronunciation is the problem.
Not as good. I think that's the same whatever language
it's like,
we speak.
Hola, hola, amigo.
Yeah. it was a bit better than that. I thought it would give the song more international appeal, and the eventual aim is to do a version of Song Together in Spanish, believe it or not. So that's something we're working on at the moment.
So what is that, the next project, or what have you got planned
next?
Well,
that's sort of a sideline, really. We're going to try and do a version in Spanish. But there is another project in the pipeline, which is the next single, if you like. This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. I mean, you know,
that's
quite a famous song. Yeah. And we're switching charities for this one, because we're going to have a charity for mental health.
Right.
All young people, basically.
Oh, great.
So I haven't yet firmed up the exact charity. I've got a few people, charities, pitching to me at the moment. But that's obviously quite a popular song, and we hope we've done it justice.
Very popular show, I believe, as well.
And yes, also, it's Mental Health Awareness Week, actually.
Yes.
Indeed, yes.
It's very timely.
And also, there was further news today about Chechnya. Apparently, the Russian government is sort of ignoring the fact that there are any gay people in their country. So,
I don't think there is, do they?
Chechnya has always said that they don't. There's no one.
Yeah. They don't have gay people, and the ones they do, they're all imprisoned or.
But awareness is really important, because I think the Chechnya one is more difficult to sell, if you like, than the mental health one, because mental health one, everyone sort of has concerns with that. Everybody knows somebody who has a mental health issue, but the Chechnya one, really, you know, we still could do with more awareness
and
political awareness, especially from the government and from the opposition. So we'll see what happens, but it's going well, and I'm hoping to raise awareness and to raise more money as things progress throughout the year.
Cool. Well, we're going to play your track in a minute, but before we do, just one quick question: how much money have you managed to raise so far for the Chechnya thing?
Well, at the moment we've raised £750, and I'm hoping that'll reach £1,000 after we have our charity auction, which is going to take place at the Golden Cross again in Cardiff on the 27th of May. So it's just going to be a charity auction and possibly a raffle as well. We're going to try and raise as much money as possible on that day. We were supposed to have an auction actually on the night itself, but we didn't have time to fit it in. But it's going to happen on the May bank holiday, the late May bank holiday Monday, on the Sunday. So hoping that will take it over £1,000. And, of course, we've still got record sales to take into account. So if record starts to take off again, then we could be looking at well over £1,000, hopefully.
Well, cool. Fingers crossed, because it's a great cause.
Thank you very much indeed, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Well, it's a lovely fun, and you are right. It does kind of remind me of Pride Season, this song. So, but seeing as it's yours, would you care to introduce it?
I would love to. This is Stronger Together by Living Without Prejudice.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's Stronger Together.
That's a little bit of an anthem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I love the fact it's named on my screen here. It says the Matt Pop Shout Out Club Radio Edit. So the first time I've ever seen a shout out edit of any song. It's
nice.
I don't know whether that was us or them that labelled it that.
I have no idea.
No, I don't remember.
I'll contact Alan now and find out.
But yeah, I really like that. I think that's really cool. So.
I wouldn't put it past him doing that, because he's such a nice guy. He would have thought something nice like that.
Mitch, we have news for you. Judas Priest, the guy's name is Rob Halford.
Yeah,
nothing like our lovely friend Rob
Sainsbury. No, I thought it could have been Rob Tesco or Rob Marks and Spencers, or, you know.
As you do.
As you do. yes.
Anyway, Ivan's been over in New York City finding out about a brand new musical play that's coming off on Broadway called Expected Joy. It's going to come over here, apparently. It sounds really cool. But here is Ivan speaking to the producer, Jim, I think you say Kierstead? Kierstead? Yeah. So have a listen to this.
Now, I'm here in New York City with double Tony Award-winning producer, Jim Kierstead. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Ivan.
Now, Jim, we're used to seeing your name associated with huge productions like The Revival of Pippin, Kinky Boots, Waitress on Broadway, Dreamgirls in the West End. That list goes on and on and on. But this new production called An Unexpected Joy, it's playing here at the York Theatre off Broadway. It's a much more intimate affair, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's like one of my favorite things to do before I started being involved with larger Broadway and West End type productions is my first love for the last 20 years is to find new pieces and to develop them from the ground up. So this is one of those. And I've been working on it for about 6 years now. And it is definitely intimate.
It's new to New York City, this particular musical. It premiered in Cape Cod, where it's set, year before last. It's always exciting to see something new and fresh. This is a four-hander, isn't it? Four women.
This is a four-hander, yep. It's about a grandmother, a daughter, and a granddaughter, and another character, but they are all women of different ages and different backgrounds. So it's a quite diverse cast of people.
Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of those characters and their natures and the people playing them, more important? Because you've got some fantastic people playing the parts as well.
Yeah, we're really thrilled about this cast we've put together. So basically, there's a grandmother, and her name is Joy, and she's a baby boomer who is a hippie rocker back in the 60s. And her life partner and singing, performing partner has passed away about a year before this takes place. And Joy has put together a concert in honor of him, a memorial concert. So she and this partner of hers have a daughter. And the daughter grew up watching her parents and their crazy lifestyle, and she basically rebelled and married a televangelist, which is much to the dismay of Jump and Joy, who were her parents, because that was completely the opposite of what they were hoping that she would be like. Anyway, so she comes up to Cape Cod for this reunion concert that Joy is putting on in memory of Jump. And she's also bringing her 18-year-old granddaughter, who has just graduated from high school. And she also is really into music. And unfortunately, for her mother, the televangelist, she wants to be a rocker just like her grandmother. So she's written all of these songs that she knows her mom won't approve of, but she knows her grandmother will absolutely adore. So the three women get together, and there's, you know, a lot of walking on eggshells, because these people have these diverse backgrounds and a lot of tension from the past, but they, you know, think that they're going to get through the week hopefully unscathed until all hell breaks loose.
I was going to say, listening to those characterizations is definitely a recipe for disaster, maybe. But let me ask you about the music, because does the diverse nature of the characters in the production, because let's face it, it's the music that draws people into musical theater, does the music reflect those characters as well?
The music totally reflects these characters, and honestly, one of the reasons that I was drawn to this piece is because the book and the lyrics are by Bill Russell, who's famous for writing Sideshow and Elegies for Angels, Punks, and Raging Queens, and Pageant, and a whole bunch of other wonderful shows. But his writing partner, you know, who did Elegies with him, they've been friends for decades and decades and have written, I think this is their fifth musical together. And her name is Janet Hood, and she doesn't come from a Broadway-type background. She comes from a rock and a pop and a blues, very diverse background. She's a wonderful musician, and she has written one of the most amazing scores. And it doesn't sound like a Broadway score. It just sounds like an amazing score that you would hear performed by any kind of a band, but it's every kind of music you would imagine. It's blues, it's rock, it's pop, you know, a little bit of R&B thrown in there. So she's done an amazing job with this score. And basically the reason is each of the women in the show, all four women, have a different style of music, but yet they're all wonderful performers in their own right. So they all get their own style.
It sounds a bit like Kinky Boots meets School of Rock, but you mentioned Janet having written the music. It's also directed by Amy Anders Corican and musically directed by Beth Falcone. I hope I pronounced her name correctly there. You've got four female leads, or rather four females in the production. That's a really strong female creative and cast team, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, that's one of the things that I was so excited about this piece. You know, and it's interesting because we started working on this together. I worked with the writers on this for about 6 years, and they started working on this show about 4 or 5 years before that. So this has had a long incubation period. But what's especially interesting about it is over this last year with the Me Too movement and Time's Up, the show has become even more relevant than anybody ever imagined that it would be. So what was important to me and to our entire team was that we have a female creative team to tell women's stories. And there's been a lot of talk about that lately, that there have been women's stories, but a lot of times men are telling those stories. And we really wanted to empower women and have the women be the people who are the creative team on that. So a lot of times Bill Russell is the only guy in the room with this whole bunch of women, and it's pretty exciting to watch that.
I mean, you mentioned the Me Too movement, and I was going to bring that up myself. I don't have to now, but women have indeed been under the metaphorical spotlight, so to speak, in the last few weeks and months. Do you think it's important that people like you, who are at the top end of the business, are promoting brand new productions like this that put women in the center and also, I guess, in charge almost?
Oh, I do. You know, it's like, I think, I mean, I've worked a lot with women over the years, women creators and, you know, directors and whatnot. And I love getting the sensibility that women bring to the table. And I'm seeing these people work together and empowering them and really making an effort to say, let's have a all women creative team, or as many as possible. That was a conscious decision on all of our parts, because we really wanted these women to tell this story. So I really do think that it's something people have to think about in order to make it happen up front. And then, you know, it just sort of hopefully continues along the way.
Now, with new musical theater productions, musical theater fans are always curious to know about, when is the cast recording? Is there going to be a cast recording? When's it coming out? Is something going to happen with regards to that? Because it's all new music, and of course you're not going to get to know it unless you come and see the musical, unless there is a cast recording.
Oh, Ivan, that is such a good question. I'm going to give you $5 for asking me that question. Yes, there's a cast recording that's in the works. And, you know, when you're doing a musical, I just think it's crucial to have the music recorded, especially music that's this gorgeous. So we already have our record deal. As soon as we open, we're going to go into the studio and record everybody. And we have a wonderful, wonderful partner. He's out of London. His name is John Yap from J Records, and the album will be released on his label. And he promises me that this will be ready by the middle of the summer, and we'll be able to have this in time for our production in London.
I was going to mention the production in London, because you open here officially on the 3rd of May. You've got previews beforehand. Perhaps closing on the 20th, maybe running a little bit longer. But I was going to mention that great news, because on the other side of the Atlantic, there's people thinking, oh, well, I want to see it too. And you're coming to the Southwark Playhouse, right?
The Southwark Playhouse, indeed. We'll be there for most of the month of September.
Yeah, I think it's the 13th to the 29th. At least that's what I've got written down here. Jim Kirsted, it really has been an unexpected joy talking to you today. And I wish you the best of luck with the production, both here in New York and, of course, over in London as well.
Thank you so much, Ivan. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I hope your listeners will join us in New York, in London, or both.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's it. Why Don't You by Gramophone D's. Matthew, you were doing Eurovision stuff last week. What did you think of our Chicken Song winger, winner?
Joe, I love it.
Slip of the tongue. How Freudian was that?
It was one of those songs you had to see it being performed to really appreciate it and see the actions and things like that. And it was, she stole the stage, as far as I'm concerned. It was great.
She stole the show as well. And I love the message she had afterwards about, you know, because about she's a larger and, girl, yeah, and she was saying, you know, oh, I was told I had to lose weight to sing and all that, and you know, I said, no, I'm going to be me. I thought that was really positive, nice message.
Yeah, about individuality, and that was very powerful stuff.
And the stage getting stormed as well for the UK.
Oh, I know, that bless was really him. And she was doing so well.
Up and then we did come bottom.
Yeah, but I did like Ireland's. Nice, entry, yeah. Actually,
that was very moving to see that the dancing in the background and the message. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That was really
I thought overall it was a very well put together show. There's some great songs. I also particularly like Denmark.
Yes, I'm with you on that because they brought the snow. They brought Denmark to the stage, and they really embraced their Viking.
Vikingness.
And
it's not the first time they've done that, is it?
No, not at all. And Finland have done it before in the past with kind of some industrial.
Anyway, I hope we haven't spot a news story. You haven't got Eurovision in the news, have you?
No. We have to wait and see. No.
Well, wait with bated breath.
The boys are here, so let's get some news.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 17th of May.
It has long been the contention of gay and lesbian activists that people who publicly say that homosexuality is wrong are dangerously repressed individuals and that they frequently constitute a real danger to children and young people. Now, an outspoken anti-gay cleric is to face trial for historic sexual abuse offences. Cardinal George Pell, a former Archbishop of Sydney, who for several decades has tried to stop any legislative reform in favour of gay people, has been charged in Melbourne on several accounts of historical sexual abuse. His manipulative activities also included trying to decouple the mutual solidarity between LGBT and African American civil rights movements by implying that gay people already had special privileges. The trial is expected to last several months.
The Classic Pop magazine has issued a special edition to celebrate the music of the Pet Shop Boys. With a modern gay sensibility, the boys were regulars on the UK and European charts through the 1980s and 1990s, and today are still issuing acclaimed music. Lead singer Neil Tennant came out as gay in 1994 in an interview with the Attitude magazine. But with tracks like Euroboy and Bet She's Not Your Girlfriend, the band have always been LGBT celebrants.
The Jewish Chronicle reports that Rabbi Aaron Pankin, one of the foremost figures in US Reform Judaism, died at the beginning of May when a plane he was flying crashed. Rabbi Pankin, aged 53, served as the 12th president of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, a four-campus seminary for Reform Judaism. His plane reportedly crashed in a wooded area of New Jersey, about 70 miles northwest of New York City. Reform Judaism is a broadly progressive brand of Judaism. It has a long tradition of supporting equalities for LGBTQ people, including same-sex marriage. LGBT and Jewish groups have united in paying tribute to Rabbi Pankin and his work.
Jake Shears of the Scissor Sisters has said this week that it's important for LGBT people to keep their queer culture alive, even in an age when assimilation is easy and there are less barriers to joining the mainstream. He said not everyone needs to assume the mould of a nuclear family in order to be accepted, and added that it's important that as society becomes more inclusive and we're allowed to marry each other, that we keep our queer values. The Scissor Sisters have been championing a thoroughly queer sensibility for the past 14 years of chart action and have also diversified, with Shears' friend and collaborator Animatronic joining the roster of weekend presenters on BBC Radio 2, where she presents the Disco Devotion programme.
Now, are you a practitioner of sex magic? Well, many LGBT people and their straight allies in the Wiccan and pagan religions are. On Monday, the 21st of May, a special symposium at Treadwell's Bookshop, an occultist retailer in London, hosts an expert on witchery, Georgia Van Ralte, who will be looking at the sacred sexual practices of Dion Fortune, who lived from 1890 to 1946 and was one of the most celebrated practitioners of ancient wisdom in her day. The lecture will unpack Dion Fortune's attitudes to sexuality and gender, and from there looks more deeply at her thoughts and teachings on sexual magic. One of the least sexually overt occultists of the last century had, in fact, a deep commitment to the erotic currents of occult practice and study. You can go and learn how with a drinks soiree afterwards. And you can find out how to book by visiting treadwells-london.com. gmail.com.
And finally, Terry will freely admit to enjoying Ben and Jerry's ice cream and other fair trade brands, but perhaps he should attend a forthcoming talk by Juliet Gelatli of local vegan campaigning charity Viva. The charity is a long-time friend of LGBT people, having sponsored advertising in the gay press over many years. Juliet addresses a meeting on Monday the 21st of May to discuss the vegan objection to dairy farming and produce. With more and more gay and trans people becoming vegan, and with the West Country boasting more than a few vegan cafes and shops, Juliet says it might well be time to switch to non-dairy alternatives. You can find out more at viva.org.uk.
And for these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Hey Shoutout Radio listeners, my name is Smashby. I'm an openly gay pop artist and I'm 20 years old. I've been writing pop music since I was like 12, 13. It literally got me through like the hardest times in my life in school, and that's what I turned to, just uplifting, upbeat pop music to make me feel better. And so what I did was, when I left school at 16, I started taking music more seriously, and I released my first EP, Bite Me, on SoundCloud, and sort of dropping singles over the next couple of years and performing them at Pride events and building up my fan base, really. Which was really awesome, because I started to get, the more kind of I put out, the more I started to get more recognition from LGBTQ news-related websites and music reviewers, and it was really awesome to start to see the music kind of be understood, and for me to kind of, people start catching on to my ideas and me as an artist. It was kind of cool to see that over the past year. I feel like that's when that kind of happened the most over the past year, and that's when I started working on my new EP, Wild One. It feels like I've been doing this forever, but I am so glad to finally get it out for you guys. The leading single, Wild One, is out on Friday the 18th of May, and you can pre-order the EP, Wild One, which drops on the 1st of June. It's such an exciting project for me, because I literally put my heart and soul into it. Especially with the song Wild One, that I feel like lyrically is the most important song I've ever done. When I was 13, I was going through probably the hardest time in my life with school and bullies and everything. Lady Gaga released Born This Way, and that was really my anthem to just keep going and to keep being myself. And I feel like it's been 7 or 8 years since that, and I wanted to kind of have my own anthem for people who feel like they don't fit in, they feel misunderstood, and they feel it would judged unfairly for either their sexuality or how they look or the way they dress or what they believe in. And I just want to give people that empowerment with music, and that's what I want to do kind of with my whole career. And I'm hoping to start with Wild One. I'm hoping that one day I'll be remembered for inspiring people, you know, and that's my aim with music. So I hope you guys love the record. I've got to pre-order the EP and hear the full thing when it drops on the 1st of June. And yeah, this is Wild One. I hope you like it.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's the Wild One by Smash Me. Is Smash B. It's Smash, not the easiest Smash thing to say, though. Smash Me. He's got a different accent, but he's actually up in Manchester. So just so you know.
Yeah, lovely city.
It's very good.
Just to enjoy visiting Manchester.
Yeah. I hope that becomes quite a good success for him in terms of being an anthem for
why
young not? People. Yeah.
Got a great message.
Yeah, good message.
So. Now, talking of messages, of course, one of the things that we do try and do on Shout Out is youth outreach from time to time. And I'm very pleased to say, coming up next is the second in the editions of the Just Like Us podcast. So have a listen to this.
Just Like Us, for LGBT young people.
Hi everyone, thanks so much for the response to our first episode. We're back again tackling one of the fundamental issues facing the LGBT plus community. I'm Noura.
And I'm Matthew, and we're talking about coming out. As part of our community, there's a huge emphasis on coming out. Those of us who have come out already know that there are wildly different experiences of it. Some good, some bad, some funny, and some sad.
We're ambassadors for Just Like Us, a group of young people who go into schools around the country to talk about what it's like to grow up LGBT. As with the LGBT community on the whole, each ambassador has surely had a wildly different coming out experience. We'll get on to mine and Matthew's experiences soon, but first we're going to jump right in and interview Marley, a member of our London Hub. I spoke with him this morning and it was great. Have a listen.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
You're in for a special treat this episode, as I get to interview one of our London-based volunteers. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your situation?
Hi, my name is Marley. My pronouns are she, her, or they, them. Trying to figure that out right now.
Great. So let's just dive right in. How many people are you out to, and who do you include in this?
I have recently come out fully as kind of an umbrella queer label to my whole family in February, so pretty recently. And in high school, I was out to pretty much just my small group of friends. I was very much in the closet for all of my high school experience, which was hard. But then going away to college, I really kind of found myself in a lot of ways. And so I came out to my literal whole family this last month.
Okay, well, congratulations for one thing. That's a really big thing, and I'm proud of you. Congrats.
Well, thank you.
So you say you're very much out as not straight. So do you think you're going to try and be more out as time goes on?
Yeah, I think that being out is definitely a goal and a very big part of how I carry my identity and how I carry myself. Because I think, well, I know that sharing my story and also just being honest and educating and just kind of having an open aura of like being able to communicate with people, I think that has been really great for my friends who have been struggling with, like, with gender stuff or sexuality stuff, or just being on the internet, like seeing representation, just kind of this mix of both being honest and open. As long as you're safe, like to me, that is something that I want to always do. As long as I feel safe enough to do that, I want to do it, because I just think that there needs to be as much conversation as possible.
Thank you so very much. This has been a really great interview.
Yeah.
And I've had a really informative time.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
We've spoken to somebody else about their coming out stories, but let's turn the discussion inwards. My twin came out before I did, and by association, people just presumed the same might be true of me.
How did you find that? Like, how did family take that?
It was actually quite difficult, because I didn't feel like I was really ready to do that at the time. Okay. It was really, you know, his decision, which is, I respected him, was great. It was just that had knock-on implications for me. Mm. My family were great, they were super supportive, but I just wasn't fully developed at the time to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so it felt like being really pushed in at the deep end. The like joy of that is that you usually learn to swim quite well when you're put in like quite challenging situations, but it was like hard to begin with.
Yeah, that sounds really difficult. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right. How about you?
So the very first person I came out to was my friend Sophia, who we had been talking like online because I had moved by that point, and I was terrified, but I realized I'm bisexual, I need to tell someone. And she came out as gay a while before me, so I was like, okay, I can trust her. But I sent her a message and says, hey, I'm bisexual, surprise. And she was just like, oh, cool, that's great, I support you. Do you want to hear a German tongue twister? And I just knew from that point, it was like, great, I can be open about who I am with her. And it was really, really validating, actually. And I guess, differently to you, it was 100% my choice. So I guess that's a very big difference between our stories. But it still turned out fine. Of course, for anybody that is looking to come out, I hope what our stories show is that not everything will be negative, but not everything will be positive. And there's no like cookie cutter way of coming out. And even if one experience is negative or one experience is positive, that doesn't define how you will come out for the rest of your life.
Mm, yeah, so there's not one fixed narrative.
Mm.
I think that there is many ways to come out as there are LGBT people.
Absolutely.
And leading on from that, I would say that you come out multiple times. There's not just one moment where you're like, oh my goodness, that's it. Every single time you meet a new person, you're kind of coming out to them and in lots of different contexts.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Do you think focusing on coming out moments is actually helpful, or do you think that it'll one day be obsolete?
I think that it's helpful now because we're still going through a period of time when people need to come out, and I kind of don't think it ever will be obsolete. I really hope that there's less of a focus on it in the future, though, and that it's, you know, just as normal as going to the shop to get a pint of milk.
Yeah, I think sadly it's not going to be different in our lifetime, but I definitely hope that it's actually going to change at some point.
What, so you mean you think that, or you hope, that we're not going to have to come out in the future?
I think I should hope that coming out won't be this thing that we actually need to celebrate. It'll just be, by the way, I have a girlfriend, and not actually need to stress about that.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
I think we should just emphasize that we're not experts or counselors, so it means don't take this as gospel. And if you have an issue, talk to somebody else. But I think we should still get into some advice about how you could come out if you so wanted to.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'd say that don't let others make you feel bad for the way that you choose to come out. It's really important to note that you can't blame yourself for other people's reactions because you have very little control over this. Two LGBT plus people might come out in exactly the same manner and just have vastly different experiences of it.
Absolutely. But then again, if you choose not to come out, you're not lying. If it's not safe, or if you just don't want to, you don't have to.
You need to make sure that your mental and physical health is a priority, and that if you come out, that's great, but make sure you're not in a situation where you leave yourself vulnerable or where that could jeopardize something. So I think that making sure that you have friends and family support networks around you whenever you come out, or even external things like the LGBT plus switchboard, is really important.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's still unnecessarily dangerous to come out in certain places in certain times. Sometimes bad reactions will happen. And if it's not what you hoped, there are support networks to help you. We'll be sure to put a list in the description.
What's most important is that you feel safe and happy, although we do hope that you'll feel safer and happier after coming out as well.
Yeah, coming out is a choice, and we're proud of you no matter what.
I second that.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The show was hosted by Matthew and Noura, produced by Samantha and Rosie, and edited by Daniel McLoder. The music was by Twisterium. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers, and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, if ever there's a way to make everyone in the studio bop along, it's that, isn't it?
Oh, it's
Some Nights by Fun.
It's a cracker.
You love that song, don't you? So
yeah.
I do.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, one of your favourites.
I love it. I does.
What are they called? Fun.
Fun, yeah.
Fun.
No relation to Big Fun. Do you remember Big Fun in the 1980s?
Yes. Oh, Big Fun.
They were on the same label as Kylie and Jason.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Waterhouse.
You're thinking of Stockacre and Waterman.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Waterhouse. Yeah, I was totally wrong. Never mind.
Not far off.
I wasn't
it.
Very not old in the 80s, okay.
Close.
Oh, all right. Rub it in.
Add H2O in it.
So, but no, I really like that song. I think that's lovely. And like, I hadn't realised, you know, it's one of those that I bought about, what did we say, 4 years ago?
It looks like it's 4 years ago on here.
I haven't played it, so... Now, one of the things we really want to talk about in this last little section of the show is that we've been contacted by Assured Pharmacy, who is an online regulated pharmacy, tends to deal with the treatment of the more sensitive issues for men. And we put links up on our website because they're running a survey to find out more about what you know about quite a serious issue that is believed not to be that well known. And that's all to do with poppers and Viagra. Most people who are gay will have certainly heard of poppers. It is officially a rheumatizer. Unofficially, it often gets used for a lot more things like that. I don't know if I can say on the radio what it does, but...
makes people feel relaxed.
Yeah, it makes you feel very relaxed, yeah. Viagra does a similar kind of thing, but obviously the aim of it is to help with erectile dysfunction and things like that, isn't it? What's not known is because they do the same kind of thing, taking them together can actually be life-threatening. And a lot of people don't actually know that. Now, did you say you've done some?
Yeah, it's really quite interesting because some people may be aware that Viagra is actually a trade name of a drug called sildenafil, and it developed as a treatment for angina. Now, angina is when the blood flow to the heart gets restricted in the arteries, so they were looking for a drug to dilate those blood vessels to allow the blood to flow more freely. So that dilates, gets more blood to the heart, and you don't suffer the pain with an angina.
But it had a side effect,
and that's and it was unforeseen because basically it changes some of the chemical signals that are going on in the body, and it results in an erection. And so it's actually a really, really helpful drug for people who suffer from erectile dysfunction, and it's changed people's lives. But as you rightly said, poppers also does a very similar thing. That's why people get the head rush. It makes you feel relaxed, and sometimes you feel very hot when you've taken it. Combining those two, you've got two drugs in your body that will dilate your blood vessels, that can cause a dangerous drop.
Yes, very fatal, very quick,
leading to a coma. And of course, if you're in a coma, there's nothing you can do, and it's a very high probability that you could actually die from it.
So first off, if you are someone who's taking Viagra, please, please, please do not do it with poppers. It has many different names: amyl nitrate, amyl
isobutyl nitrate, isopropyl.
Yeah, yeah. Often labelled as things like room odorizers or leather cleaner and things like that, I believe. It wasn't banned in the recent cull of legal highs, but they're still legal. So they are still perfectly legal in this country. But taking the two together can do things like it causes such a serious drop in your blood pressure, it can be fatal. Most common side effects are also things like a whopping pounding headache because you just don't have any blood going to your head, sickness, dizziness, and even temporary loss of consciousness. Now, obviously, the effects of poppers don't last more than a minute or two. But the recommendation is just do not do it in the first place, because that can be more than enough to be so serious you'll be calling an ambulance.
That's right. It can impair your judgment as well. And then for people that on the BDMS scene, BDSM. Thank you. I've got a slight dyslexia there. if you're losing consciousness, you're unable to communicate, or you fall, or something, you can even be in a nightclub dancing and you fall over. You can actually lead to accidents as well as passing out, and so there could be secondary effects from this combination as well. This is a really serious issue, folks.
Yeah. Now we will put the link on our website. It's a bit too long to read out, but there is a link. They're asking you to do a survey to find out how much you know. We might have just ruined that by telling you everything that you need to know about it, but now you do know. You can say you heard it here.
Yeah.
But do go fill out the survey and get other people you know to fill it out as well, and help spread the message. So,
are there any kind of statistics about how many people have fatal accidents with
these? It's very difficult to come across the information for poppers, because I tried to compile some for an article I wrote for the Terence Higgins Trust Gay Men's newsletter when THT was functioning in Bristol.
Right.
But there have been a few fatalities of guys using Viagra and poppers. Poppers alone, very, very rare for somebody to die.
Poppers alone, I believe, it's usually statistically because they try and drink it.
Yes, you should never drink that.
Ever do. That's why it's called a room odorizer.
And I was going to add, actually, guys on the, or women for that matter, on the sort of BDSM scene, be careful with poppers, because some people take them in gas masks and things like that through the filter.
Right.
Be very, very careful, because you can sort of have an overload of poppers through that way as well.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. If you're new to poppers and you want to try to do it very, very slowly, I think is the best advice.
I think so.
So
yeah, we should have a program on poppers, shouldn't we?
It is funny,
especially because they're legal, so yes, people indeed. Don't think there's anything wrong with them, cigarettes, really, I guess.
No, well, I wouldn't say they're anywhere near as bad as cigarettes, if I'm honest, for poppers. But anyway, subject perhaps another show, that one. Indeed. But that is it for this week. As usual, all the info, including the links to that survey and more, will be up online very, very shortly.
So just head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt to find out more.
Next week, we're catching up with LGBT Bristol, but from myself, Mitch, Steph, Terry and Matthew, and our lovely friends that contributed as well, say bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye!
Shout out!
LGBT Radio for you.